this, we keep in mind and look at how this woman, this is a woman who can go in a boardroom when she's CEO of the DNC and around a table with the high Clinton power broker male and look at them all trying to push back on it and look at them and say, you know, this doesn't feel like a negotiation to me. I'm reading from a Huffington Post article. This feels like power and control. Gentlemen, let's just put our dicks on the table and see who's got the bigger one, because I know mine's bigger than all of yours. This is a powerhouse woman who is fearless. And at the same time, she says something when she talks about there's the system could be rigged. She wants to check and see if the system's rigged. And then she goes on to say that she didn't come back and confirm that. What she said was that there's a cancer. There's a cancer, that the process was flawed. So many of her conversations and interviews now are about, but you did say rigged. And she says, no, I didn't.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Well, the book is called Hacks. It's the inside story of the break-ins and breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. The book, Donna Brazile is the author, and I got to tell you, it is an incredible read. I've read the book through now, and it is something else. It's what they call a barn burner or a page turner, or there's just so much said in here. And what one of the most interesting things is this book started to come out, and it was revealed a lot of behind the scenes. I think that Donna Brazile is an interesting operative, a political operative. And, you know, I think when she wrote this initially, she was thinking, okay, I just want to tell it all. I want to tell what I believe the truth is behind the scenes, what happened. But I think as the book started to roll out, I think she realized her suspenders were getting just a little too tight. Because there were some things in here that she started to change and kind of waffle back with as some of the interviews were coming out and some of the promotion on the book. And so it was a little different, a little strange for a new book like that to take that twist and turn. But I got to tell you, it is interesting to see what happens behind the curtain in a major political party. And let me say this up front, friends. I don't think that the sort of deceit, the lies, a lot of the vitriol in here, I don't think that that's tied to one political party, by the way. So my disclaimer on this is this. I think this is tied to the entire political system. And as I've told you before, it always comes down to the power. It's about the power that these politicians seek. But really, it's what they do with that power and the trust that we give them. And this is a phenomenon we're seeing around the world, by the way, with politicians that are out of control. It's not just here in the United States. It's everywhere. We're going to have a big conversation today. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. We're here on season two. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. Our co-host today, Dr. Faye Wilson, is here. She's an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, and underdog advocate. Also, Susan Price, a Gold Star mother, a national voice and veteran advocate for justice. Missy Crutchfield is here, co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and of Gandhi Global Center for Peace. Linda Martinelli also joins us in our panel discussion. She's an entrepreneur, owner, and president of Proforma Graphic Print Source. Again, this we have this particular panel of co-hosts today so we can really have an honest and vigorous conversation on what really happened here, what's behind a lot of this. And so the Hacks book, ladies, is it really is an incredible read. And I wanna start here with this. And so what had happened is Donna Brazile had promised Bernie Sanders that when she became empowered in the DNC, that if she found corruption or found that there was something that was holding his nomination back and his rise to power in the party, that she would tell him. And she was trying to be of her word. And she says in the book here, She says, I at last found the document that described it all, the joint fundraising agreement between the DNC, the Hillary Victory Fund, and Hillary for America. So this was an agreement she was trying to find, a document that showed that the DNC and the Democratic Party was severely in debt. And so the Clintons, Hillary Clinton in particular, wrote a big check to the party with the idea that she would control it. Now, this was before she was the nominee. So while all these debates and pomp and pageantry were going on television and radio and what have you, it was already in the bag. Now, some of the media were reporting on this, but not many. Most of the media, like 99% of the media, never let on to that. But obviously, we knew something was amiss here. Something was wrong. But it seemed like she was, do you remember hearing in the media a lot, ladies, she was like the anointed one. It was, you were constantly hearing that out there, how she was the anointed one in the party and was going to, I don't think there was any doubt that she was going to be the party choice for president of the United States. Dr. Fay, I want to start here with you, please. Was there ever a doubt in your mind that Hillary was not going to be the nominee for president for the Democratic Party?
There was a doubt in my mind, and I'll tell you why. There was a doubt because there was so much confusion that I was sensing around the party, not only historically, but in the present moment. I am a resident of Arkansas, so I am very familiar with both Bill and Hillary Clinton. And I knew what I was hearing from Arkansans, and there was a lot of unhappy people about some of the things that had gone on. So I was, you know, I was there in that space of listening and taking it all in. But yet, when you ask me if there was any doubt, I have to be honest and say, yes, there was some doubt.
So you believe there was, but now as we look back and we see hacks and we see with these agreements that were in play, there really was never a doubt, Dr. Fay, you see, because she had bought the party off, you understand? She had written the checks, and they owned the party. That never happens. That is historical, Dr. Fay. You understand the gravity of that, right?
Right, I do. I understand the gravity of that, and I understand that when you have such influence over a party or over a people and money, people with money sometimes do have that power and influence, people lose the consciousness. And you mentioned the word before about character, and they lose their moral compass as to the rights and wrongs. They walk in this area we call gray area. They know that it's wrong, but because they don't think anybody's watching, and because they've gotten away with so much for so long.
You know, Dr. Fay, we're going to come back a little bit after here, ladies, and visit what Dr. Fay just put out there about character, because this is really, to me, where the rubber meets the road here. This is the intersection of humanity I'm speaking about right now, ladies. It truly, truly is. Because without character, I believe you have nothing. Because that's what, Dr. Fay, you're saying, is we kind of lost our way, and a lot of people have lost their way. And a lot of that is that lack of character, because they're not really doing the right thing when you're looking, or you're not looking for that matter. But they're going along with, you know, their power struggles and internal problems and things that, again, it's power and money. It's greed. It's a human problem. It really is.
This is Susan Price, and I wanted to interject and what the doctor said. That's my words exactly. There's no moral compass. And we're leaving out a really big power group here, the media, and how Hillary has influenced the major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. These are the most demonstrative of all, because they set the stage for the dumbed-down Americans sitting on their couches after a long day's work, and the only way to get any sort of truth is watching television, watching the media. And because people are busy, they're enslaved to their jobs, they have families. So, and with the doctor living and growing up in Arkansas, she would really know because that's where a lot of the beginning of the Clinton crimes took place. But
right.
then
Susan, two things I want to mention on what you're saying. I would disagree when you say that people watch television to get the truth. I think that is, I would totally disagree with that. There is no truth on television, in my opinion. And this is my opinion.
Well,
now.
No, you, I believe like you, Malcolm, mm-hmm. but okay. we're talking about the key word, the dumbed down
Well,
American.
They think they're getting some the truth, Susan. Yeah, but they're not getting any
exactly.
truth whatsoever. They're getting somebody's
they're
hidden
not.
Agenda. No, that's for real. Let's come back to that,
exactly.
Susan. Let's come back to
okay.
that a little bit. But
right.
that's a great point you make. And Dr. Fay, I want to come back later on. And don't let me forget this, Dr. Fay. And I want to find out your opinion. I want to get a couple other opinions, too, on what kind of president Hillary would have made. I do want to explore that a moment in a fascinating way a little bit later in the
sure.
production,
okay?
Because I am curious. And because you, being from Arkansas, too, you have kind of an inside a feel and approach to it, because let's face it, there's a lot of news within the state that you would have gotten when they were governor, Bill was governor, and, you know, these are kind of, you know, they're leaders of the state, really. They were well known
yes.
there. So I want to go to our dear friend, Missy Crutchfield, and I want to get to Missy your thoughts on what we're speaking about. Missy, let me say this. In the book, listen to this now. Now, this is one of the most powerful Democratic operatives, a lady who I respect, Donna Brazile, and a lady who I would love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with, quite frankly, or probably even a glass of wine at the end of the day, so I get a little more truth, maybe, huh? yeah, exactly. I'd love to sit down with her. I'd love to interview her as well, but because I think she's a really fascinating lady for a lot of reasons. I have followed her, as I have many leaders in the country. I like her personality. I like the way she comes across. I mean, I could be really good friends with this lady, probably in some ways, because I find that fascinating. What I don't like is the way she changed her story after the book was written and it was out in
right.
public. And that bothered me a lot,
right.
Missy. Really, it did. But I want to read this to you and then have you opine on this. So she says here in the book, "I had found my proof and it broke my heart." Well, this is her now in the book explaining why it broke her heart. And she says, clearly, the process was indeed rigged against Bernie Sanders. Now, that's some pretty big words there, Missy. I mean, that's not casual talk. I mean, this is a lady that bleeds Democrat blood. I mean,
She's brilliant. She's lovely. She is strong. She
right.
is charming. And this, we keep in mind and look at how this woman, this is a woman who can go in a boardroom when she's CEO of the DNC and around a table with the high Clinton power broker male and look at them all trying to push back on and look at them and say, you know, this doesn't feel like a negotiation to me. I'm reading from a Huffington Post article. This feels like power and control. Gentlemen, let's just put our dicks on the table and see who's got the bigger one, because I know mine's bigger than all of yours. This is a powerhouse woman who is fearless. And at the same time, she says something when she talks about the system could be rigged. She wants to check and see if the system's rigged. And then she goes on to say that she didn't come back and confirm that. What she said was that there's a cancer, that the process was flawed. So many of her conversations and interviews now are about, but you did say rigged. And she says, no, I didn't. Now, again, this is a woman who is fearless and will go up against Clinton, high-powered CEO male in a boardroom. But now she's back down. So I think, you know, this is the power of the Clintons. This book is out. And I think that she's dealing with, I mean, we know the Clintons are a force. I've been historically a Democrat. My family's Democrat. Yeah, I'm the liberal. I'm probably more green now. And I was absolutely a Bernie supporter. But I think the Clintons have done wonderful things. I was for Hillary 10 plus years ago, and she made a lot of mistakes then. I considered her this time, and then I thought, no, she's out of touch. It's not her time anymore. Even though I'd love to see a female president, I want somebody who's really going to bring this country together and really help bring this world together, because we got bigger problems than just, you know, small talk politics, where again, I lean Democrat and Green. You know, we're looking at global warming, and is this world even going to be around in 2048? Because we're losing coral reefs, and NPR just did an amazing story on that. So I digress, but I really think we need to get things in check. However, to her book, yes, what I've read, and I haven't read the whole book, but what I've read and what I've listened to, and the stories and the articles, I mean, this is a powerhouse. But something's wrong with the party. She's trying to talk about what's wrong with the party. She is fearless. But the party is in this last attempts of, and the only thing worse than the Democratic Party, perhaps, is the Republican Party. So let me just put that out there. And the only person that possibly could have lost to Donald Trump clearly was Hillary Clinton. And the thing was, I believe, rigged. And Bernie, I believe, could have won and would have been a better candidate, in my opinion. But we've got big problems in politics. And the Democrats, you know, the Republicans need to do some come to Jesus, if you will. In their house, but the Democrats, you know, they're not listening to their base. You've got racist issues, you've got sexist issues, you've got completely lost the working class. I mean, how Donald Trump can come in, who really shouldn't, no, nobody but less than the 1% should really identify with this man, perhaps. Well, there's the Tea Party, but you know, and he won. I mean, this is unbelievable. You couldn't have written this in
Well,
fiction.
Missy, let me say this, that actually, and I want to go to Linda here and get her opinion on this, because actually, a little different than what you say at the end there, the reason many experts believe, Missy, that Donald Trump won the whole shooting match there, okay, was because he appealed to the common man. It wasn't, back to what you just said about the 1%, he actually appealed to the common man. And quite frankly, Missy, the wealthy people were afraid of Trump. They didn't want him in there at all. But the common man really is the reason Trump got that office, Missy, if you can
Yes.
believe that or not.
No,
That's the only
I
reason he could have won. That was it.
in the end, we're going to look back and we're going to say that his interests are only in the 1%, but the common man, the working class white vote. It was a protest vote. It's Obama brought out racism in this country like it's never
No, stop
been.
there, stop there. Did you just say Obama brought out racism in this country?
Yes, this com and I'm in the American South, and with when President Obama came into office, this country saw racism just ignited again, like more than even in the 60s.
So in that case, he wasn't good for because
I
he
think President Obama was fantastic, but
Oh.
instead of people hiding in the dark under the rocks and things, people came out. They felt like they were entitled to. I mean, you saw people just speaking out and screaming. The media were polarized as well, and the most racist. I mean, I saw more Confederate flags flying and bumper stickers. It was insane. I remember my father was a Senate Majority Leader, Dem, big supporter of African Americans in office for decades. I mean, in the 50s, my father got death threats bringing the first African American floor onto the floor of the Tennessee General Assembly, because and he looked at his colleagues who were jeering at him. Remember, this is the 50s, and he said, "Get used to it, and I'll bring him back later." C.B. Robinson, who was a statesman, became was elected and became a statesman. So, I mean, a bit
Interesting.
observing Democratic politics,
Okay.
racism, and here we are in the
Well,
South.
interesting history you mentioned there. I did not know that, Missy, but very interesting. I want to go to Linda a moment, Linda, and ask you to get your opine here on. Let's talk specifically about Trump a moment, and talk about. I want you to speak, Linda, to the point of. What do you think the attraction was to the, because it wasn't the wealthy people who put him into office, but let's talk about the connection with Trump to the common man. Speak about that, Linda, if you can, to the point of why he rose to the highest office in the land.
Well, I think that that's a really interesting question, because I would have a completely different viewpoint than Missy has on this. When Donald Trump started campaigning, you know, he pretty much was laughed at, and he started speaking to the common man, and he started speaking about the economy and our pocketbooks and our jobs and the things that we needed to hear about. And it was interesting that I was in a hotel at one point, and I happened to be there during a conference of people that I was totally unrelated to. It was a foreign conference, and it was a financial conference, and there was people from different countries sitting there, and I was listening to them talk, and they were talking about who should be elected president in the United States. Now, they didn't really have a dog in the fight, But to a person, they thought that Donald Trump should be because he had the common sense outlook, because he ran a company, because he knew how to run finances and get things taken care of that were not being taken care of. And to my mind, the conservatives do not want the corruption that they've seen. And this book by Donna Brazile, it's really rich because Democrats generally stick together and they don't criticize each other, where the Republicans will criticize each other all day long. And so this is giving us a slice of life that I think is going to help clean up all the parties.
Linda, that's an interesting viewpoint you have there, Linda. This has given us a slice of life, you say, that will clean up all the parties. You're talking about the entire political spectrum. Yeah, Linda?
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
And Missy agrees with that. We got agreement between my two dear friends, one on the right, one on the left. I love this show, kids. I love it, man. But, you know, it is interesting, Linda, the way you put that out there a moment here. It does give you pause with all of that. We're going to pause here just a moment, friends, and pick this up. This is a really interesting conversation. You know, I remember that song, The Bridge Over Troubled Water. By golly, that could be our national anthem right now, friends. Hold it right there. We'll be right back in just a moment here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Book is called Hacks, Donna Brazile, and it is, as I say, a page turner. It's a book that reveals an awful lot about the political structure in America. I don't know that this is just about one political party, although she talks about one political party in here in a very fascinating way. It's a political party that she has her heart, her soul, her life invested in. That's what makes this book so incredible. Now listen, friends, it would be different if somebody from the opposing party with the opposing viewpoint wrote this book. Well, then it would be like, yeah, so what? But let me say, had they done that, the mainstream media would have been all over criticizing this. But I will give you this, friends. Isn't it funny how this book came and went already, and you don't hear anything about it in the mainstream media? I wonder why that is. I wonder why that is. Why is it that they seem to be so agenda-driven? Linda, let's bring it back with you a moment here and pick up where we left off. Why is, in your opinion, the media so agenda-driven? Because let me say this, had an opposing person from the other party written this book and put it out there, I believe the media would have been all over this and they would have still been talking about this today. It got hot for a little bit, but then I noticed it died down almost immediately. They didn't want to keep that fire burning, Linda, you think?
Well, I think so. And the media is liberal, let's face it. That's just the bottom line. I don't think that there's a whole lot more to it than that. But what I find really interesting about this book, and I do agree with you, and I do respect Donna Brazile and everything that she's done. And I agree with all of what all of the the hosts have said about her.
Okay.
However, she did her best to enhance the unfair advantage that Hillary took for herself by feeding her questions and then lying about it on television. And then now in her book, the thing that I have a little bit of a hard time with is that she blames the Russia's hacks on Hillary losing the election, or on the DNC losing the election, however you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if all of the people in the Democratic Party who got hacked had not said and done all of the unethical, illegal, immoral things that they did, and had it come out by whoever hacked it, which I think Julian Assange had quite a bit to do with that, then none of this could have been an issue. So it gave all of us a view, and Donna's bringing it out, and I absolutely respect that. She's bringing it out so that we can all see it.
Interesting, yeah. Listen, before we go further down that road, I want to go to our esteemed colleague here, Dr. Fay. I got to get you in. I need your opinion on something, Dr. Fay,
sure.
Because I'm very curious what you'll say to what Linda was just saying. In regards to the media now, let's come back to that a moment here. So Linda says, well, Malcolm, it's a fact. It's as simple as the fact that the media, the mainstream media right across the board, is very liberal-minded. So my point was that this book is a game stopper. It's a show stopper. It's incredible. And the fact that an operative in that same political party wrote it is what makes this book so incredible. It was somebody talking from the inside out, Dr. Fay. Why is the media so, first of all, do you believe the media is so biased in their ways, number one? And two, why are they so biased, and are they very liberal-minded, as Linda had put out there? Give me your reference to where the media is on all of this, please.
I believe the media is just as corrupt as everything else. I really do, because I know that there are different segments of media that are totally sponsored by people who are pro-Democratic or pro-Republican, mm-hmm. and they report based on the money, who's paying the bills. Mm-hmm. And so they have to speak from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And with this particular book coming out, and you given the fact that this is a person who actually handled the day-to-day business of the DNC,
mm-hmm.
who decided, even with the threats, with all of the opposition, to make a statement, to say, no, I will not keep these things secret any longer. And in some of her interviews, she actually spoke of, you know, the opposition that she was going through in the publication of this book,
right,
to expose and expel the demons, if you will, that were in the DNC. And it is a reflection on the entire nation, not just the Democratic Party, but every American citizen, as to what is going on at Capitol Hill, that
mm-hmm.
it's corruption has taken over. Our entire nation is
right.
in moral decay. Because
yeah.
we've not had enough people stand up for righteousness and speak forth for what is good rather than support the evil.
Do this, Dr. Fay, before I go over to Susan, because I want to get her to opine on a couple of thoughts, and we'll go back to Missy as well. But let me ask you, answer just the one simple thing. I love what you just said, because it's accurate. And, you know, but tell me this. Is there an answer to this? And you may not have an answer to this question, but why is the media by far and large across the board really more to the far left, more to the liberal mind, back to the agenda? We know they're corrupt. I don't think anybody on this show would disagree with that program. But why do they go more toward that? Is there any reason that you can understand or share with me?
No, I really don't
okay,
know.
Good.
I really and truly don't know.
Well, that's honest, because I don't have a damn clue either. Does anybody have an answer to that? Missy, do you have an answer? Susan, does anybody have an answer as to why the media goes that way?
Or, yeah. All I can think of, Malcolm, is like how the ladies on this issue have mentioned. It's all about the money. Who's paying the bills?
Right.
Who's in the shadows that we don't know?
Right.
I agree with that, and that...
Wow.
You know, you're looking at, I'm not even sure it's so liberal. I think that it's been framed so liberal. I think it's owned corporate media. it's owned by big sponsors, by big money. I'm going to go ahead and throw it to the 1% again. Corporate media owns the lobbyists. Corporate media owns the factory farms and the petroleum and all of these, you know, big money. The lobbyists go into D.C. and they write the bills for the legislators who don't even read the bills. And then everything goes into a downward spiral of greed, like we've all mentioned. And I think we're all in agreement for that. So the media is greedy. Western media is probably the worst because we're this is America. We're king of the world, right? So the president of the United States is the perhaps most powerful man in the world. And then Europe and other countries follow us. And that's why, you know, our health is declining. The rest of the world's health is starting to decline because they're looking at, oh, wow, we need a McDonald's. We need to eat this. So, you know, we're going to hell in a handbasket, if you will. And we've got to get a grasp on this. And that's why, Malcolm, programs like this and ladies is so important, because it's going to be alternative media and, yes, social media where people can truly speak truth to power, speak their minds, speak for justice, speak for the average person, and stop this just huge, enormous tsunami of corruption.
Well, Missy, that is so well said. And it's why, again, that's why I say you're so extraordinary. You ladies are all extraordinary. Missy, it's so good to have you part of this season and this show, because I love your, all of you. I love all of you. But I mean, I just really appreciate your angle and the fact that you come from a really good but well-known Democrat background like that is of really interest to me. Because, you see, let me explain something to you. Well, what I'm trying to do here is bridge the gap, Missy. Now, you've probably already picked up on this, and although we've met just recently, Missy, and I'm speaking right now to you specifically, but everybody, is that one of the things, one of the goals of America Out Loud, and certainly this show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, but America Out Loud as a whole, was to bridge the gap. My idea, Missy, was to bring all the voices to the table and have real conversation. Now, back to the corruptness in the media that you're speaking about and that you're all speaking about. I want to tell you this, and this, what I'll share with you right now is private, sensitive information, but what the hey, I'll put it out there anyways and tell you. Last month, we had a group of people who wanted to purchase America Out Loud. And back to what Susan said a moment ago about the political, I thought it was you, Susan, someone that said the, I'm sure it was the political influence of the people who are, you know, calling the shots behind the scene here. They're political operatives, the Democrats or Republicans alike, and the fact that they control these things, and as you're saying as well, Missy. Well, the group that wanted to purchase us offered a large sum of money, but they were, back to what you just said, who's running the media, because we're an alternative news network, so we don't want the extremist view of left or right. I think they're both cancerous to our salvation as a country, and back to the moral compass. I think we need a moral compass again. So here comes me, I'm the Paul Revere of today, riding in on my horse, you know? Now, I may get kicked in the ass, ladies, and thrown on the ground and rustled or what have you, but my point is, and I'm address this back to Missy here. So you see, I refuse to have the purchase, even though it was very lucrative, but it was, again, political operatives who wanted to purchase it, and because they want to control we're not going to be controlled, Missy. That's the point. Does that make any sense?
You're not a puppet. It makes total sense. We don't take big sponsors of Gandhi's Bee Magazine for the same reason. If somebody's got a problem with something we write, something we publish, some truth that we speak to power, they're going to call me. And if they want to threaten my job or call my boss, I'm going to say, you're speaking to her and, you know, get over it, like my father told in the floor of the Tennessee General Assembly in the 1950s. But, you know, if you want to maintain ethical, truthful program, then you're going to have to be very careful about taking large amounts of money or big sponsors, because they want to control you. They want to email you before your show and tell you what you need to say, how you need to say it, and then when your breaks are going to come, and then you're going to have to talk about how you use the sponsors. I mean, they own you. And Malcolm, I believe in the short period of time we've known each other that you're about life, liberty, and pleasure. That's why you've named your show that. You lose your life, you lose your liberty, and I guess you lose your pleasure too when you start selling out.
Well said. Go ahead.
It's Linda, and I think one more thing that you brought up earlier is really apropos with the media is power, and that is that the bigger the story, the more crazy and outrageous, and it becomes a wag the dog, and that I'll never forget that movie, because I feel it every day in the media. It's so one-sided and dishonest. The media no longer reports the news. They make the news, and they make people feel the way that they want them to feel, mm-hmm. or think what they want them to think, rather than reporting what happens. They just give you the part that makes you feel what they want you to feel and think. And exactly. That's where I think that the media is so dishonest anymore. And where I also appreciate a show like this, where we can say the truth and not be just one-sided about everything. We're all here with different opinions.
Exactly. We've lost authenticity in this country. We've lost it in the world, yeah. really. We've lost yeah. it. It's a lost art. And I think that's why my goal on the airwaves is to be that person and that bridge, that voice of reason, if you will, to what I can do. You know, I really appreciate this conversation so much here. I want to bring it back here a moment to something here before we let this book go, because, again, I think we all on this show have stated already, we all have a lot of respect for Donna Brazile and her contributions of life and her career. She's actually very well liked in all political circles, both left, right, and center, because she's a very likable gal, you understand. She has that persona as she comes into the room. She says here, in the early chapters of the book here, listen to this, ladies. I want to talk about the arrogance and isolation of the Clinton campaign and the cult of Robbie Mook. Now, Robbie Mook was the campaign manager, my friends. So she calls it the cult of Robbie Mook and the arrogance and isolation of the Clinton campaign. Now, this, again, is a Democratic operative, a lady who then comes out and realizes this is all in the book that is already published, and then tries to defend her relationship with Hillary Clinton. You notice Hillary Clinton was so fed up, she didn't want to talk to her any. You notice she didn't come out on this at all?
Yeah.
But what the hell was she going to say? Yeah. What was she going to say? Oh, my friend Donna Brazile, yeah, I love her too, but I know she threw me down the yellow brick road, and, you know, I get it. And then she goes on to say here, in a campaign haunted by ghosts and lacking in enthusiasm, focus, and heart. More than that, Hillary's campaign and the legacy project of the outgoing Obamas drained the party of its vitality and its cash. A huge contributing factor to our defeats in the state and local races. And it really gets, this book is unbelievable. And she goes on, and you know, I wanted to mention, because Missy, you had just mentioned about Obama and his legacy and so on and so forth. Listen to this, Missy. She goes into this chapter 4. It's called Picking the Apples. She has some very fascinating names for her chapters. This one's called Picking the Apples. This is where she talks about the debt. Well, he told me that the party was broke and millions in debt. Now, Gary Gensler is the he. And he is a Sachs, worked for Sachs there, and a big financier, would have been the future treasurer secretary, we're sure. She says, what? I screamed, Donna Brazile says. I am an officer of the party, and they've been telling us everything is fine, and they were raising money with no problems. Well, that wasn't true, Gensler said. Well, officials from Hillary's campaign had taken a look at the books. Obama had left the party $24 million in debt, $15 million in bank debt, and more than $8 million owed to vendors. This is Donna Brazile talking, Missy Crutchfield. And vendors after the 2012 campaign and had been paying that off very slowly. Well, Hillary for America and the Hillary Victory Fund had taken care of 80% of the remaining $10 million in debt and had placed the DNC on an allowance. They basically owned the party now. And was calling the shots.
Right. And they didn't give her a big allowance either. I think she was asking for $8 million and they gave her two. But, you know, you've got to think about spin too, in respect with respect to what you were saying about President Obama and the Obamas and the Democratic Party, because, you know, maybe he wasn't taking a lot of big money behind the scenes. I don't know. Some of the best things that are happening right now, like what's happening on this program, is that we're questioning everything and we're questioning authority, and we're looking at motives and the dialogue in this country. And, you know, earlier I mentioned that, you know, why the white class shouldn't identify with Trump, but they did. I said he doesn't represent them. him, but they thought he did. But history will show that he's, you know, his values, his interests, and certainly his bank account is in the 1%. But okay, but
which
but
is okay. That's capitalism, and we don't mind people being successful, Missy, right?
Right.
And so is Hillary's bank account.
Absolutely, right. They're all loaded.
That's right.
She's the 1% too, Missy, right?
With the
yeah.
And there's problems with both parties. It's a mess. It's a train wreck. And and the best thing that's happening right now is that there has been, Brazil talks not rigged, but it's a cancer. Yeah, I think there's a cancer happening on a lot of levels and disease. And the best thing, and even with what happened in the South during the Obamas, when you saw the ugliest face of racism, we haven't seen it in decades. But you know what? The rocks are getting pulled up. People are getting all of
they
this.
Are.
Stuff out, and maybe now we can let the air, we can heal things, we can get all this stuff out and deal with it authentically and say, look, we're more alike than we are different. We're human beings, we share a planet, we all want happy families, we want pleasure, we
yeah,
want
yeah that's you know jobs. Missy, let me jump in. That's what I was trying to say earlier, which I lost my train of thought. Thanks for bringing that back. One of my goals with this network and all and my life is what you just said, Missy, and help me with that, because I'd love you to be part of these plans ahead and the things we're doing. But really, it's to find what connects us as a people, which is what Linda was saying earlier. So Linda's on that page. You're on that page. I would imagine probably Susan and Dr. Fay are on that page, too. I want to lead with
Absolutely.
What connects us as a people, not what divides us. See, the problem with the political operatives and the problem with the media and the problem with all of them is they lead with what divides us, ladies. They don't lead with what connects us, which is really sick. I mean, it's really, really sick. I want you to think about that. We got to pause in a sec here. One morning, but I want to say this here as we do this. Listen to this here. And we come back here. Susan, we'll let you and Dr. Fay chime in on this as well. And I'm curious to get both of your opinions, because there was a lack of unity, basically. Donna goes on to say in that same chapter, I had learned a great deal about the dysfunction inside the party in the last 10 hours. As I saw it, we had three Democratic parties. We had the party of Barack Obama. We had the party of Hillary Clinton. And this weak little vestige of a party led by Debbie Wasserman Schultz that was doing a very poor job getting people who were not president elected. As I saw it, these three titanic egos, Barack, Hillary, and Debbie, had stripped the party to a shell for their own purposes. I want you to think about that a moment, friends. That's from the Democrat leader of the DNC operative, Donna Brazil. Those are some strong words. We'll pause. We'll be right back in a moment there. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Great co-host on the show today, Dr. Fay Wilson is here. Susan Price, Missy Crutchfield, Linda Martinelli are all here today on the show. This is a really, really fascinating conversation we're having. You know, I want to take just a pause and tell you just a couple of quick things before we dive back into this book with Donna Brazil. And I want to mention, as you know, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, every day, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is the live first performance you'll hear. The encore plays at 11 p.m. Now, these times I'm giving you at Eastern Standard Time, we realize we have a lot of listeners in Europe and in Australia and around the world, but that's the reason we have two times, so you can catch it when you're not sleeping in the middle of the night, perhaps, yeah? So 5 and 11 Eastern Standard Time, live on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Just get the apps, if you like, Android or Apple, or listen to us on one of the talk radio networks like iHeartRadio. But the Android and Apple apps, America Out Loud Talk Radio, or the links are on the show page at AmericaOutloud.com. We appreciate having you here and part of this body of work at Life Liberty. We have 10 incredible women that are part of this production. This is becoming more of a movement, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. As you remember the 10 women from Season 1, and now with the 10 women from Season 2, it is an incredible array of powerful women from all kinds of the spectrum of ideologies and political beliefs. That's not even the conversation here. The conversation is we lead with what connects us as a people, again, not what divides us. And there's a lot that connects powerful women, a lot. There's strong, successful, as I call it, extraordinary women. So I read before the break, Dr. Faye, about what she had said in there about the egos. Those were some pretty strong words about Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. That was a pretty extreme comment, don't you think, Dr. Faye?
I think they were extreme, but she's writing from her own experience, and in that she has emotion. And when we write, there's a level of that that's throughout the pages. I appreciate so much this book and actually this program. When Donna took that leap of faith to write this book, it was after she did not hear from Hillary. The relationship, apparently from her statements, had already been severed. And she decided to go ahead with this to expose what was going on inside of the camp. The statements that she has made, her description of what was in the camp and the different people that played the part, that's from her experience. We take this exactly and do what exactly everybody's been talking about. We use it as a bridge. Mm-hmm. Now we know what went on. Okay? Let's grow from this place. We know that corruption is real. We know that media has their hand in the pot also. Mm-hmm. We know these things. But because of this program and others like it, mm-hmm. we can use these opportunities. I believe that when God exposes the ugly stuff, he is saying to us, don't do this. Mm-hmm. Don't you be this way. You be better than this. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't hate people because they did something bad. Let's learn to forgive, release, let go, because apparently they've gone on. Hillary's lost, and wherever Hillary is, she is. Whatever Donna's doing, she's doing. But we have much more life to live so that we can be a voice of reasoning in the madness of the season. Let's make a difference in putting information out there that's going to empower the next president or the next person that comes along, or our children that we're shaping and making and molding every day.
It really is about the children. It's about the education of the children, Dr. Faye, you know?
Yeah. We're creating a space right now for the presidents of the 2030s and the 2040s. Amen. We're creating that. Yeah. And we have this great opportunity to do so beginning right here.
Well,
so,
let's bring that bridge over to Susan Price just a moment here. Susan, so you hear Dr. Faye talk about the bridge. And it really is about the kids. And I know you, as a weekly columnist on America Out Loud, have a lot of passion for our youth, the generation. I mean, listen, your family paid the ultimate price. You lost your son in Afghanistan, was killed there. And by some means, it's a more complicated story. Some people would even say he was murdered there. But that's another story in another day. But talk to me about that bridge that Dr. Faye is speaking about, because I want to bridge from her ideology and philosophy over where you are as a Gold Star mom. How do we get there ahead? How do we use this as an experience?
Well, I agree with Dr. Faye and everyone here. I have 7 grandchildren, and that's my life, my legacy. I've seen this whole Donna Brazil, Hillary Clinton thing play itself out through many people around the country as I've networked, and all different angles, and everyone is the same as we are here. It's all about, we all want a life for our children. We want to preserve some sort of moral compass, some sort of history, some sort of law, because things have become lawless under the last administration. And like one of the ladies on this issue today had mentioned with Obama and a race war and the division that's been taking place. And how do we get it back together? By speaking out and taking everything that's coming out through these political operatives at every angle. Everybody's speaking out, and we've known it, we've seen it. And now the media is in the hot seat because people are asking more questions and wanting to know what's going on. I'm going to pay attention to what I feel in my heart. I'm going to protect my children. I'm not going to follow the leader, so to speak.
Well, which is why you can't just at night anymore, Susan, you can't just turn the television on anymore and expect that you're going to have some truth coming out of it. You understand?
Well, when I said that, I didn't mean...
No, I know what you meant.
We're part of alternative. I'm saying the man that's been in slumber, but now those people are waking up through the work of Donna Brazile and others. They're starting to awaken.
Well, listen,
and that's a good thing.
Well, listen, let's bring it over to Missy a moment and say this. Obviously, Donna felt passionate that there was some heavy lifting to do here, Missy. She felt really, really compelled. This had to be, can you imagine how many sleepless nights she must have had before this book came out as she was writing it? She had to know what she was doing, Missy. Come on, you know?
Right, and I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, too. And again, like I mentioned earlier, this is a fearless, brilliant woman, very, very savvy. And perhaps this is something she's trying to get in front of something, because you're going to start seeing things topple down just like you are in the sexual harassment accusations and on and on and on. This is just the beginning. And let me just, you mentioned Debbie Wasserman and all of the... political, strategic, corrupt moves that were made, Debbie and others, to undermine Bernie's chances, et cetera, advance Hillary's and the money. There was something else that happened in that, too, that we need to look at. We're talking about sexism. We needed to also talk about, and those other issues, what women did to other women, and iconic people like Gloria Steinem and Madeleine Albright during this time. They came out and they made fun of the young people. That's really our hope for this looking at things differently, for, you know, whatever we can take out of the best out of both parties and the Green Party, and how can we move forward together and heal this country. And young people that were really going over to Bernie because they were looking for something else. They were looking for something better. They didn't have faith or trust in the parties. And they made fun of the girls and said, these girls are only going to Bernie to find dates, young men. I mean, how do you do this? How do you stand up and be a supporter of feminism, a leading person historically, Gloria Steinem, and then Madeleine Albright, and say something so diminishing and destructive to the movement, the women's movement in our... I just was so incredibly...
Missy, what had happened there, obviously, starting the program here, you had revealed that you did not vote for Hillary Clinton, you did not really like that agenda, and you felt her time had gone and passed. Got it. You obviously voted for Bernie Sanders, but the problem that a lot of the country had with the Bernie Sanders movement is, you see, he had taken the Democratic Party very far to the left. Now, one of the things I want to say to you real quickly in our last few moments of the production here is that one of the beautiful things I've seen about America, ladies, since you're all from this country here on this show today, is that America has a tendency to snap back to the center whenever it goes too far to the left or too far to the right. If you look at history, correct, ladies, over the past many decades, and we've done this many times, a lot of people thought the Bushes were taking it too far that side. Barack Obama brought it back to the left again, went that far. The party and the country was at a risk, Missy, at that moment. Had Bernie Sanders won and the party and the country would have snapped that far to the left, you realize that would have revealed some really interesting things about America, because typically we do snap back. Do you buy any of that, Missy, or real quickly, or do you think...
I absolutely believe the left and the right keep the center, absolutely.
There
and my
go.
Point was that these young people who are a future, who are visionary, who aren't just going to buy and just take it and swallow everything they're being fed, they went to Bernie not necessarily because they believe in everything, but they believed in they were going to vote for something different. Wake up, America. And I think several of us on this show, perhaps all of us, are saying that the most important thing that's happening is that we are awakening.
We are awakening, and we can take it further. And that really is the message here that we are speaking about. It is is interesting. Last couple of moments here, we're just about out of time, but Linda, you hear all of this, and you hear, and I like some of this passion and some of the comments we're seeing here. What's your last thought on the gravity of the bridge that we're talking about, that Dr. Fay put out there, that certainly Missy has just spoke about, and Susan put out there and said, hey, you know, we've got to learn from these things. Donna Brazile did us all kind of a favor, both the left and the right, by revealing some of this. You buy that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think that she was extremely courageous. She showed a lot of heroic courage there. And I do think that, and I my hope is that more people on both sides do the same thing.
Yes.
Because we need to see what's going on and get all of this cancer out and start healing and see if we can get back to being a united country rather than, we're so divided now. My fear is down the road, we're going to end up in a civil war because we are so far apart from each other.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a good bridge. It's a good starting place. It's at least the first brick of the bridge,
right,
to get us back to a point where we can function as a more united United States.
Well said, well said. And, you know, here's the thing. I've said this before to your friends out there. I'm going to say it again here today. The biggest threat to this particular country is not from an enemy abroad. It's not from a terrorist group. It's not from some foreign government. The biggest enemy to this country is from within this country. That is what
Amen.
This country has got to worry
Absolutely.
About most. If yes. they don't make their bed and clean their own program yeah. up, and yes. people don't start bringing their best to the program here, and yeah. there is something for everybody. You can see just on this show, you can bring people together to think, you know what, we do care about the planet. We do care yeah. about this country. We do care about our kids. We do care about leaders. We do care about all of these factors. Why can't we sit and have a bigger conversation and give a little yeah. bit back and forth? So is that so bad? It's not. And what happens to the folks that are extremists, that have a hatred ideology? It's just, no, it's my way or the highway. Well, probably they can go to hell.
An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind.
There's a song by that name.
Dr. Fay Wilson, Susan Price, yes. Missy Crutchfield, Linda Martinelli. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.